Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk hyperinflation. Now, I mean, hyperinflation, that's not exactly a word you hear every day. Hyperinflation, what it really is if you have two consecutive months where the inflation rate exceeds 50%, that's what hyperinflation is. So it's basically out of control growth of your dollar doesn't buy what it used to. I looked it up. I'm an old man. I was born in way back in 1975. So I wanted to see kind of how much inflation has really, you know, gone. And basically your dollar in 1975 will buy you, I think it's $5.61, some shit like that today. Or the other way. Yeah, it would buy you $5.61 of today's stuff. And that seems about on point. And so that's not completely out of control. And I've always thought that if spending got, you know, like if we just keep printing money, you know, when we did that QE or whatever, quantitative easing, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 35, whatever it was in 2008, I was like, well, if we print money like that, that's going to be the end, you know, that'll push us off the cliff. And somehow the end never comes. So, you know, but it turns out, people,
everything's just going to keep going on just like it is forever.
It's never happened. We never see it. You know, not in my lifetime, right? I haven't seen since 1975, right? There hasn't been any. It's good. All right. So what actually causes hyperinflation in the past, like traditionally? What do you got?
I mean, really, really a lot of hyperinflation, not all of it, but a lot of it comes from people – people leveraging their economy to fight a war that causes them to spend a lot more money than they have to defend and to rebuild their country. So, a lot of the time, that's the cause. And bad politicians.
So if you had like endless, economists. If your country was perpetually at war, like in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you know, like that could be damaging. Or maybe even with a major superpower like Taiwan or Russia, with China or Russia, like if you were fighting somebody like that, that might get expensive.
Turns out, yeah. If you're always fighting war and every day is you're on the cusp of collapse, then you gotta have that money, man. You gotta print that money up. And especially a lot of the time when countries are at war, they're not producing a lot of stuff. Most of their able-bodied people are fighting, right? They're not actually in the farms growing the food. They're not in the factories building things. You know, the United States was great because we got a bunch of butch women that took care of things in the 1940s. Gotta give them a shout out, you know? Rosie the Riveter?
Exactly. Nah.
Type of girl that's in my dreams every night.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, the ladies have to step up. And, you know, more and more we're seeing that, right? We see that with the Bud ads and everything else. Now, the big thing I think everybody's wondering is, well, if we have inflation and everything gets out of control, what happens to my mortgage or my credit card debt? I've done the research and I have the answers, but we're going to save that because that's like the little teaser. Right. I learned that from like radio school. And so we're going to get there. We're going to get to the bottom of this, but I think there should be like more like likes and subscribes. And then we'll get to that answer. Is that how you do it?
Oh, okay. We gotta get a certain amount.
Build up a little bit, you know. Call your friends right now. Tell them to start watching. You know, that kind of thing.
All right. So let's talk about hyperinflation.
All right.
In real life.
Yeah. What is it?
In real life, it has happened several times in a lot of different places. The first like actual recording of the technical definition of hyperinflation, first thing that matches up to that would be the French Revolution, right after the French Revolution. I mean, it's great for a little while, right? You kill all the rich people and take their money. Things work out really well for a little while. But it turns out when you take all the rich people's money, they're not spending it on farm equipment, tools. People aren't getting paid to go to work, right? So you're not producing anything, and you're not building the infrastructure to produce things. Things get slippery real fast.
Yeah, well, one of the things that always frustrates me is people always blame the rich, right, on you know, their money problems. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Two things happen when a rich person has, we'll say, $1 billion, right? So – because, you know, rich isn't a million anymore. Now it's like a billion. You got a million. Yeah. People have
those
million.
Poor schlubs.
People have a million in credit card debt. You know, that's the thing. Like, I just was listening to, like, Dave Ramsey or something. And this girl's like, yeah, I'm 27. And me and my husband, we have about $1.3 million in credit card debt. And I'm like, no. Ooh. Well, I guess, no.
Yeah.
It was debt. So it was. It included.
It wasn't necessarily
$250,000 mortgage. It included, but remember, that's still over $1 million in debt left over. The rest was credit cards, unsecured loans, and student debt.
Yeah, student debt is a real
killer.
Yeah,
she said a and third. Those, you know, was student
they try?
Debt,
you know,
crazy.
Those interest rates on student loans aren't like. That's not like a 3% loan. You know what I mean? Those student debts, they rack that money up. They make a lot of money out of suckers going to art school.
I think you're in
that.
A big neighborhood of like 7% or whatever for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But it can be worse and ugly. So, yeah, no, I know it. So, anyway, the rich people, right? So, two scenarios. The guy has $1 billion and he does one of two things with it. He goes out and he spends that money. This guy's buying Lamborghinis, buying nice furniture, having you putting gazebos all around the yard, got the boathouse, fancy boat. Well, when he's spending all that money, he's putting money in our pockets, you know, the working man's pocket, right? So I make cool engines and he's buying those cool engines to put in his $150,000 pickup truck, right? You know, we'll let you figure out what that means. But he does that kind of thing. So that's great, right? That's going to help you out. Now, scenario two, he says, I hate people and I'm smarter than everybody else. So I'm Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. And Mr. Potter says, I'm going to keep that money. He might even lend it out, which is awesome, right?
Right.
He's lending it out, which is causing people to create new businesses, build new houses, do things like that. Or scenario three, I said two, now we're at three. So scenario three, he just sticks all that money under his mattress. And that's kind of like Scrooge McDuck, right? I think he was like that.
Right.
He had the big gold room, he was taking baths in there. And right? Now, Scrooge was doing that. Now, what happens is, if there's we'll say $1 trillion in the whole economy of the world, or, you know, whatever. We understand there's a lot more than that. Our debt, national debt, is like $31 trillion. But say there's $1 trillion and he puts away $1 billion, he just made that money supply a little bit smaller, so there's less money out in the thing, so there's more of a demand for it. So he actually made things better for you by just getting rid of his money. So
taking it off the market.
There is no scenario where rich guy is your problem. Now, if he's running in a factory and he – have you seen this? There is a scenario where many rich guys are your problem. Have you seen like 33% of all house sales are to corporations and not to people now? That's crazy. And that is the rich guy screwing you. And then
– and I'll tell you this. If you're a millennial and, you know, you're a hardworking guy, want to get ahead in life, sorry, dude. That time's over. You're fucked. If you don't own a house right now, good luck.
What is it Obama said? This is the new normal. Suck it up.
Yeah, the new normal is you being poor.
You know, it's going to suck.
You're going to get ahead in life. If you're a millennial now, me and my parents, my grandparents, we already destroyed the economy for you.
We lived the high life. Good luck, dude. Ain't nothing.
Game's over now.
What is it? I think Sweden or one of those. They always have like the short work week and everybody does like 40 hours. I think they're cutting down again to like 4 days and 4 6-hour days and they can run their shit. I don't know what we're doing where it's like, you know, we're working three jobs and.
Yeah, no, I think it's great because we get to pass down $31 trillion in debt to these people that they didn't get any of that $31 trillion. No. That didn't go to them.
No.
That went to your grandparents. That went to the boomers. They got that money. You just have to pay back their loans now.
Now, so more recently we have like Venezuela, right?
That was a recent one. That happened fairly recent.
That people are watching and, you know, we see that. But if you go way back and actually Greece more recently.
That was
where Europe had to bail out Greece. But let's go back. I don't think that was actually considered true. I'm not really sure how that in Greece, in Venezuela, it was. But let's go back. So 1944, Greece had 13,800% inflation. That's pretty ugly. The Weimar Republic, so this is 1923, right after World War One. Had 29,500% inflation.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They said at that point employees were being paid hourly, and
So they were getting paid weekly, but the money was the value was going down so fast that they demanded to get paid daily so that they could spend that money before the prices went up more. Then they started demanding that they get paid hourly so they could take their money out to their wife. The wife could go spend it and buy stuff because by the end of their shift, the prices would have doubled.
That's crazy. Now, it's funny because we see those same things going on now. Like you go by the McDonald's in town here and the sign says we pay daily. And it's for a totally different reason. Turns out people are so lazy and so short-sighted that they're like, well, I'd go to work if like I had money right now and I could go out tonight. But I'm not going to go to work for some fantasy in 2 weeks where I might be. Who even knows if I'd be alive then, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. So then there's Yugoslavia. 1994, we put a ton of sanctions on Yugoslavia because they were killing each other. And we frown on that.
They were behaving kind of shit.
Genocide was being thrown about, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, all right. They had 313,000,000% inflation.
Right. So what that meant for them was that between 1992 and 1994 in Yugoslavia, prices were doubling every 1.5 days, every 1.4 days. The prices would double.
It was so bad. They said if you bought a pack of cigarettes in the morning, that it would be worth one cigarette in the evening.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, it's kind of like you're like saving money. You buy that pack and you save two, you've like doubled your investment.
You doubled your value.
I had Zimbabwe 2008. Mm.
That was a bad one. And that was, you know, prices doubling every day. Yeah. That was a little bit faster than Yugoslavia. Yeah. And that was really completely due to government corruption and
all day,
like dumb people, people doing dumb stuff.
You know what? Here's where it's dumb. And it's kind of the whole South Africa thing where, So where they're basically going after the farmers and being like, oh, you know, we don't like white people or anybody doing all this farming. They kick them off the land or anybody they didn't agree with. They take back the land and they redistribute it and give it to somebody else. But
it doesn't know how to farm.
Exactly. So everybody who's out in town is like, oh, well, I'd like a farm because I see that rich guy. Look at all that food he's got. That's not fair. Right. I'd love to have what the farmer has. And they go take the farm and then they're like, well, I'm not doing that shit. Otherwise, I would have been a farmer, you know?
Yeah.
And then so.
Turns out this is hard work and it sucks. And I don't know what I'm doing.
The same thing. Like, so I give you a factory and you're like, yeah, make it run. And then you're like, yeah, I think everybody, engineers, everybody should all be paid the same because I love socialism. And then I might be thinking of Atlas Shrugged, but I feel like that happens. And you basically destroy a business. They had 79.6% inflation in November 2008. So that was a little rough. Hungary. Hungary had war damage, reparations, and 4.19 quadrillion percent inflation.
Yeah, that's not even a real number.
I'm going to tell you about those numbers. What do you know about Hungary?
And that was Hungary between 1945 and 1946 was the highest inflation recorded. Historically, that was the highest inflation that's ever existed.
Now, I actually have some perspective for you on what like a quadrillion or a trillion. I don't even have quadrillion, but I'm going to tell you about these big numbers. So in 1981, the U.S. national debt was $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, those were, they thought that was going to cripple our economy. They were like, that would be the end. You know, we've gone too far. So then 2009, it was $12 trillion. 2023, we're at $31 trillion. Now, I do have a little perspective. So here it is. So, like, we can understand what a million is, right? We can kind of picture that. We know that, you know, $1 million maybe buys you a half a million, buys you a really nice house, you know, in the better part of your state, maybe, unless you live in California or New York, of course. But, you know, right?
Doesn't buy anything.
I hear you. So, a million, we'll put it in time. A million seconds is 12 days.
Right.
So now we're going to bump up to a trillion. A trillion seconds is 30,000 years. So that's a little difference. And then forget about it, like 31 trillion, obviously the math, it's 930,000 years.
Right, that's seconds.
So basically if you have, that's just insane. Right now the U.S. economy, it's $1.3 billion a day in interest. That's where we're at. So just like, you know, hanging out, we're like, oh, we're getting in debt. A billion, you know, 1.3, whatever. You know, it's just a rounding error, 0.3 at that.
Right.
0.3 billion, that's not 300 million, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
That doesn't mean anything. I don't know.
I wipe my butt with $300 billion bills.
So... The bottom line is there's a lot of things going on right now that kind of, you know, seem like things could really get out of control. And we're doing a lot of stupid things that just kind of keep aggravating all this. So what actually happens, right? So when we look at like Venezuela and these kind of places, what happens when a country runs out of money, the spending gets out of control? Well, the thing is, a government... Their priority, they they always see themselves as essential. Like the government is the most important thing. And if we don't have a good government, it's all going to fall apart. God forbid the people know what's going on and can handle their own business, right? So we have, first thing is they kind of want to pay the police and the law because you got to protect the government officials, right? So they're like, oh, you know, and maybe by police, it's the military that we're going to have step up and, you know, go in and guard everything or whatever. Then all of a sudden, the money goes there. The officials, their stuff costs more. So they're just like seizing stuff. Then the water treatment plants start to fall apart a little bit because they're like, well, we don't really have money. The poos, the water, that's not important. So that was one of the big things in Venezuela was they couldn't get fresh water and clean water, you know, was the thing. Yep. And then so you start to get disease and things like that. California, they probably don't know anything about this, but I've heard they can have rolling blackouts because basically electricity is kind of expensive. And, well, you don't want to go, we'll say, maybe 4 hours without your refrigerator plugged in. So what if we just shut off the power in this section of the city for 3 hours? Like, we'll just do it at nighttime.
You won't even notice.
You won't even notice. And, like, North Korea, they do that every day, right? I don't know if they're still doing it. But I know 10 years ago, that was the norm in North Korea, and I believe it to be true today, that they just shut off the power.
It's not rolling blackouts, it's just you don't have electricity
at nighttime, right? So they do kind of things like that. Now then, obviously with inflation, by definition, the prices are going up on everything and you can't afford it. So they're like, well, you know, I'm a great leader. I'm going to say, you know what? We're going to put price caps on everything. And, you know, everybody, I think the government likes to say, it's a human right to have access to quality food. And then I'm sure once we can't get quality food, then it'll be access to food, period.
To food.
And access to, you know, the scale.
Access to
it's a sliding scale, you know?
Yeah.
Right now you got the whole food pyramid going on, and then it's kind of less and less. So what's going to happen is they're going to say, all right, a loaf of bread can't cost more than, we'll say hypothetically, $5. All right? That's the limit. Well, the problem is if the farmer is like,
by the way, in New York,
is $5.
It's more than $5 for a loaf of bread of Wonder Bread, not like good bread.
Talking about straight sawdust, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. For you New Yorkers and Californians, let's say a loaf of bread is capped at $10.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think like your bougie health food store bread. If that works for you in your mind, you go with that one. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, loaf of bread, $10, and that's the limit. Now, the problem is the farmer is like, well, I can't pay anybody to pick the flour and the, you know, get the eggs and the things that I need to, you know, and feed my chickens and make a loaf of bread for and buy the sawdust and make a loaf of bread for less than $10. It cost me $20.
Right. So why are you making that? Why would you make bread?
And then some governments, I know, what was the one that Russia, who had the big famine right next to Russia there? Was it Ukraine?
You just described 15 countries.
No, but I think it was Ukraine, actually, back in the day when they had, you know, where they were like, well, you have to make it.
Right.
Just make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some countries do that kind of thing. But in a lot of places like Venezuela and stuff, they just stop. They're like, well, I'm not going to make that. So then there's no more bread. And that's the thing. So I have to sell you a loaf of bread at $10. But for me to get another loaf of bread, the farmer is going to charge me $15. So I can't – it doesn't work.
Right.
So they actually just shut down the store. So then you might go to the farmer directly and you might say, hey, look, I'll make my own bread. Can you give me some eggs and some flour? And I'm going to fix your tractor that's not working. And barter starts to become the thing. And that's how the world works.
Yeah, when money's losing value faster than you can get it, then it's not worth doing the work for the money because it's not going to be worth what you put into it to get it.
The reason it all starts to fall apart, though, is people have things they can't create. And there's always like a limit. And by a limit, what I mean is like, all right, so even if I could get diesel or something, I can't refine it without some mystery outside source because the U.S. is so limited on refineries that I can't do anything with it. So I can't get the gas to run my tractor to, you know, my tractor's diesel, but you know what I mean. I can't run the equipment and then it all falls apart. And that's where the whole system breaks down and you kind of go back into third world, you know, country here where you don't have, you know, I can't make toilet paper, right? I can't do that myself. Now, I can go collect a bunch of old copies of the phone book, or I might pick out the choicest leaves for you.
Right.
But that's about as good as it gets. So people basically need to worry about a couple things. They need to worry about growing your own food. They need to worry about security. You need to worry about people. It turns out they turn to thievery and
people are dicks now, sometimes.
A lot of places actually still have morals and religion. And that's what I was reading is some of the countries actually did really well because they were kind of a Christian mindset community. And I'm not saying that's the only one that would work or whatever. I'm saying that whole, hey, let's help each other out and make it work and work
let's
together.
Keep our neighbors from starving to death if we can.
And the thing is, and it's not even that, it's let's work together, not I'm entitled to your stuff. Now, what always concerns me is in America, people kind of have that I'm entitled to your stuff, you know, mindset. But, you know, that's something, you know, that's a little concerning. But anyway, so you also want to think about, so we talked about growing your own food, security. The police aren't going to work, right? If they're not getting paid, they're not showing up. So you got to worry about your own stuff. Seed saving. That's a big thing for the future. And those of you who can figure that out and understand it, that's huge. I put my wife to work on that. She's all over that. That's something you really need to consider is, you know, propagating into the next year. People need to find alternative sources of heat. You know, maybe it's the wood stove coming back to, you know, life. Things that we can produce ourselves. But also, hey, can you convert your stove, you know, your pellet stove or whatever? Does it work with both? Can you, you know, are you the guy that can rig that stuff up? Or, you know, I know Tractor Supply sells that like 55-gallon drum conversion for, you know, becoming the wood stove. Can you utilize your existing chimney and throw that in there? You know, I don't know. But also, you know, people have their furnace room is like a closed little room and not set up like in the middle of the main living area where it can actually dissipate heat. So that's something, you know, are you cutting a hole in the wall and running a chimney out there? Do you have some pipe for that? That's something you might want to look into, right? You know, that's the thing. But once you get to like 70% inflation, people can't pay their bills. You get civil unrest. You get, they do things like a mandatory minimum wage. But again, when it's mandatory, you can't pay.
Yeah, so you just don't hire, you can't hire people.
It just, none of it makes sense. So the next thing that always concerns people is, well, what do I do with my money? Like, how do I prepare for this, Chuck? So I just told you some of the physical things, right? The garden, the security, you know, and we obviously have a lot of episodes on how to, you know, deal with those things. So, you know where to go on that, how to be sustainable and kind of live off grid without society. That's kind of the whole dream that a prepper, you know, lives.
Right. But, and that would really, insulate you from high inflation.
You know, and that's, that sort if of you had your own meat or meat you could trade, could you imagine?
It's a lot of work though.
You know? That's kind of a cool thing. But yeah, farming is kind of a bear, right? You know, people work at it. If you even grow a little bit, you know it can be work. And the government is always, you know, Chris said, full of geniuses. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Right.
But so the next thing is how to prepare financially. And that's something, you know, I teased you about in the beginning here of, you know, what happens to your mortgage? Well, so it's a crazy world. Now, typically, it's kind of like having a mortgage is kind of like winning the lottery on hyperinflation. So if you think of it like in the 1960s, you could buy a house for $25,000 or $30,000. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the perspective goes like that, where it's like, oh, yeah, I could have that mortgage for 30 years and it's $75 a month. That's less than my electric bill. That's nothing, right. And it's pittance and everything's good. So if you actually own something, your mortgage, I looked at like 20 different the number was actually seven. I watched seven different economists speak on this, and they all said basically that's how it's going to play out, is you're going to kind of like win the lottery. And you just, your mortgage is nothing and you can do it.
Right. The price of your mortgage is going to stay the same, right. But the value of it is going to go right. way down.
Exactly. Now, again, that's also going to help you. You're going to want to make sure you have a fixed rate mortgage. Because
they can change it anytime they want.
If it's variable, if you don't. Right. And right. So that's an issue. Now, I did find one example where people did kind of get screwed on that, but they didn't get screwed that bad. So in the Weimar Republic, they had basically, say we had the German Mark, and then we had the German Mark 2.0, right? Which is the new future. Like, so say you made $20 an hour in prior to inflation, you're going to now get $20 an hour of super money in the future, right? But your mortgage is in the old, you know, old
the,
mark.
The old
right?
money.
So what they did was they said now, because, you know, you've never heard of this in America, but in Germany, they were like, we need to protect the banks and the corporations.
Right. There's a lot of rich people losing money. That's
that,
no good.
We can't have that. So what they did.
Those are the people that are writing the laws. I mean, who's going to decide economic policy? Obviously, the rich people are.
So even though you had, what did I say for Weimar Republic was like 29,000% increase inflation, they basically made it 25% of the new money. And so they did that. So there was one instance where, you know, the government said, hey, but you know what's funny? They did for the mortgage companies, screw you, the little man, we're going to make it go up 25%. So really you had this huge increase in reality based on those dollars and the deal that was made. But now for government bonds, you had the German bonds. They actually only paid you a 2.5% increase. Because, you know, fuck you. Like, you're a little guy. Like, what do we care? So, you know, I'm sure they painted it like, well, really, corporations own the bonds and it's not you and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, just, you know, it's bullshit, right? It's bottom line, when the government pays, it's only a 2.5% increase, but it's a 25% increase when it's you. I'm just saying that's kind of shady. Now, the other thing, so credit cards are kind of the same thing where you still kind of win, but the problem with credit cards is your interest rate can change. So you just want to be able in a position where you can kind of pay it off quick. And people always think, well, you know, I have a truck that I could sell for 20 grand, right? Or my tractor or whatever, right? It's all 20 grand. Well, the problem is, in hypothetical, right now you could maybe get 20 grand worth of value, but if people can't feed their families, you might get $5,000.
Right. Spend $20,000 on a truck.
Well, that has big tires, so that's cool. Yeah, and I don't really care. So it has, the value goes way down. You know, your truck that is the old beater that gets you there is, the thing is, at a tenth of the price is way more desirable because that one's a tenth of the price. So you got to come way down on your price. So you don't always have the assets. You got to think assets that people need.
Right.
People need a way to have clean water. People need a way to have food. People need a way to stay warm and keep their babies from, you know, freezing to death or starving. Those things are what's going to matter. So you need to keep that in perspective. Now, interest rates can go out of control. So a lot of people, they basically say, well, two, I can just default on my credit card debt because I don't even care.
Yeah, just don't pay it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to an economist, they say that's a really bad plan. And here's why. And work with me. So remember, when you have a huge dip in value, we'll say right now in a hypothetical world, right? Lots of houses are $500,000. And we have this huge inflation and they go up to some crazy value and then nobody can afford anything. Kevin is always pointing out that they raise taxes and interest rates to get this stuff under control. When they do that, the value goes way down and all of a sudden houses are $100,000. Well, you just sabotage your credit by not paying all your credit card debts and defaulting on everything. Nobody's going to help you out to buy all these houses at the reduced rate. Because right now, right, when everything goes down to $100,000, everything's on sale. And you want to be able to capitalize and buy as much cool stuff as you can. So that way, when things kind of go back to the new normal, you're on top of the world. You know, people always say, oh, I buy when it's high because I'm an idiot. But you want to buy when things are on sale. And when nobody wants something, that's the time. You know, when classic cars, like I said, your cool truck that's 20 grand, you won't be able to get 5 grand for it. But if you have the 5 grand to buy a couple of cool trucks to put away for when things kind of go back to normal, and turns out there is an ebb and a flow and things do eventually go back to normal, then you want to be in a position to pounce. The other thing that's concerning for people is they don't, it's almost impossible to time the market. And like, you don't know when hyperinflation is going to happen. Like, I've been screaming that that kind of thing could happen anytime, that our economy has to collapse because there's no way we can afford $31 trillion in debt. Yet, magically, it keeps happening. You know, we keep going on. So if you were like, oh, well, 3 years ago, hey, you know, if, or 2 years ago, if Biden wins, the economy is going to go to hell. Or if Obama wins and we do national health care, the economy is going to go to hell. And you ran up lots of credit card debt, but you'd just kind of be screwed.
Right.
So nobody knows when that other shoe is going to drop. And you have to be paying attention to, you know, what's going on there. And just be aware that that can really bite you in the ass. But I would say if you're buying anything that is going to have real sustainable value or it put you in a better position to, you know, take care of yourself, it's not wrong, you know, right, as long as you can afford and sustain, you know, the debt. Now, I try and preach no debt for everything, but
That's the wisest decision, I would say. That's, you know, you the wisest listen to
somebody
to
like Glenn Beck, yeah, they're like, oh, you know, no debt, just pay everything off. Because then you're in a position to do stuff. If you had stacks of gold or whatever, then you're in a position. So, but again, I know you can't eat gold or silver, right? If you're trading me a silver coin and I can't go buy something with it, but if I can, then I want it. You know, it's one of those things, right?
I mean, also, silver is handy to have on hand for, you know, in vampire or werewolf emergency.
Yes.
You don't know what's going to happen. So that is something valuable that does have a usefulness. I mean, if that vampire werewolf scenario plays out, I don't know how likely that is, though.
Now, another thing I wanted to touch on is Kevin had pointed out that war is one of the big, you know, catalysts for hyperinflation. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, America, I don't really see America. You know, we're first world power. We can't get into trouble.
Right. Now, we've never had hyperinflation in the United States. That's never happened, right?
Nah, that'd be
it did happen.
A what?
Two times. Two times.
All right, what happened?
So the first one was around 1780. It was right after the American Revolution, and it was basically due to the American Revolution in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it was just poor management. But basically, at that point, every state was producing their own cash, their own paper money.
Okay.
So they could just print as much as they wanted. So people didn't want to pay taxes on goods that they were exporting. Why would I pay taxes on that? You know, somebody else should be paying taxes on that. Foreign countries did not welcome trade with America due to British pressure. The British weren't happy with the United States, so they tried to pressure other countries to not buy any of our goods. States provided their own money and taxed other states. So if you wanted to buy something from the state next door, you would tax that state because it's always – you just always screw everybody else. But if everybody's screwing everybody else, you're getting screwed too. And then the final one was
Civil War.
British imposed a lot of trade embargoes on the United States. So we couldn't really ship a lot of our goods overseas. So we were taxing everything that was coming into the United States. We couldn't ship anything out of the United States. And basically everybody got fucked.
All right.
It took a long time to get that straightened out, get that train back on course.
Now,
the second time it happened.
All right.
Early 1870s after the American Civil War. What happened was the Confederacy was scared that people were going to turn against them if they increased taxes. They needed people to support the war, and increasing taxes isn't a good way to do it. So what they did was they just just printed money. You just print it. You just make more. It doesn't matter if it has backing or not. You know, how much gold can a dollar buy? Well, it's not going to be the same amount as it can next year. It's going to be a lot less. So nobody wants that money. And that happened in the Confederacy, but that was also happening to a lesser extent in the North. So once the war was over, now everybody's problem is everybody else's problems. Exactly. And what do they do about that? Well, this is one of the few times that the American government actually didn't make a dumb decision.
What
they decided to do was let me just take a look here.
Yeah, you better check so the notes on that was, twice, because the government
they
not
called,
making
yeah
it,
I had to double check yeah. that one. They came up with an idea called Redemption Day.
Yes.
Redemption Day basically was when you can start trading your cash in for gold.
Okay.
You know, you can go to your bank. You don't have to go to like some broker somewhere. You just go to your bank, you give them your cash and say, I want gold. But you got to make sure you have the fucking gold. You know what I mean? If you don't have gold and silver, that doesn't do any good. So what they did was they sold bonds to countries overseas, to different countries, for gold and silver, brought the gold and silver back to the United States, spread it around to all the banks in exchange for cash. And then on Redemption Day in 1979, they assumed everybody was going to bring their cash in and trade it in for gold.
Wrong. Yeah.
Or was it not 1879?
1879. You said 1979.
Did I say 1979? Yeah, 1879. So Redemption Day finally does come around. And what happens? Turns out nobody runs in there to get gold because they know that they have the gold and silver if they want it. Why would I be carrying gold around in my pocket when I can carry bills? I can trade it in if I need gold, but I don't have to. It's inconvenient. So it turns out just actually having the gold and silver on hand was enough to put people's mind at ease and knowing that the money has value. And there you go. That's all you have to do. Now that would never work for a lot of reasons, but for the main reason is that we have politicians that just want to get elected 2 years from now. They're not really concerned about what happens 40 years from now. They're only concerned about getting reelected. If they can't make you happy in 2 years, they're out of a job. And if they're out of a job, they don't have power. And you know why everybody gets into politics? They want power. They want money, but it's really just a way to get good looking girls. That's really what money and power comes down to. You know what I'm saying? No girl wants to date a broke loser.
Yeah.
And senators and congressmen are the epitome of the opposite of a broke loser. you can't be a congressman. It's almost impossible to be a congressman and not get rich.
Right.
You know, it's also almost impossible to not be a congressman and not already be rich before you become one.
That's part of it. You know,
double standard.
But if you have a twinkly smile, you know, if you're
and it, yeah, it, that's it, man. You just got to be charismatic.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
I've never met a cult leader or a politician that wasn't charismatic, and they both about the same level of individual. If you ever wonder about like how to spot a psychopath, look at any presidential election. Any person up there that's trying to become the Republican or Democratic nominee for president, any one of those people, psychopath. That's how you tell.
Yeah, exactly. Next, so you had mentioned like all the kind of bad decisions that led to the U.S. hyperinflation, right? Well, it turns mm-hmm. out a lot of those things, corruption in the government, mm-hmm. printing money out of control, those things right. could be happening in the United States right now.
What are you talking about, Chuck?
Here's the other thing that's kind of crazy with war. So it turns out a lot of people right now are speculating that China, there's a real good chance, is going to invade Taiwan before the end of the Biden presidency.
Right,
and
right.
Just a good high chance. Probability, right? And they keep pushing and pushing right now. You know, they're surrounding Taiwan. And, hey, what are you going to do if we do this? And America mm-hmm. doesn't exactly show strength lately. I know that, you know, the soldiers are great guys and we're kicking ass. But our leadership decisions are not always top shelf. Like, yeah. you know, sometimes you just leave tons of equipment over in Afghanistan. We've been known to make some bad decisions that has actually bit us in the ass in the future. But, well, you know, who knows? So anyway, something about Pentagon leaks, things like that. People think that China might be on the cusp. Now, I would say...
Yeah, it seems yeah. that the U.S. government feels like this might be happening.
Now, mind you...
Whether you think it or not, whether they say it out loud or not...
Right.
That's what they think is going to happen.
I will say, like, anybody could take internal documents. Like, it's like taking things out of context. You know, you can... Mm-hmm. Like, some things are an obvious smoking gun, but some things are also, like, that you could... You know, like, you might have one guy in your staff who's like super pro-war and wants to do things like that. And you might have another guy, and you as the president might take the advice of both, and then you decide your own thing. You just want to hear the best argument each way. Mm-hmm. And that could be. And these stuff could be from the crazy guy who just gives you the perspective, you know, the out-of-the-box yeah. thinker. I don't know. But what I do know is if China invades Taiwan, they said immediately – within the first year, we would have a 9% reduction in GDP because we won't have access to the chips and that we use right. to produce like everything. Like, remember right. when we had the chip shortage already? And it was yep. like, oh, I can't get a new truck. Oh, if I order the new Dark Horse Mustang, I can't get the upgraded stereo, and right. they're only going to give me $100 off because it doesn't have the right chip. What the hell?
Right.
I'm just saying that might be a thing.
Right. And you have to pay for it now, yeah. and maybe you'll get that car in 2 months. So,
now, you heard me say 9% reduction in GDP. During the Great mm-hmm. Depression, there was a 7.5% reduction in GDP.
Mm. Now, the Great Depression, right. right. So we're talking about 9%.
Right. And that's just one thing. They just said just chips. Now, let's talk mm-hmm. about what else happens if we go to war with China. You know all those container ships that go back and forth? That one,
all the
we
time.
Sell stuff or get rid of all our cardboard for some reason to China.
Yeah, we send our recyclables to them and they send us
and they
all
throw them
brand
in
new
the
shit.
Ocean and we pay them to get yeah. rid of them safely. Right. And they send us the really cheap goods that go on the shelf at Walmart. You know what's mm-hmm. not going to be on the shelves at Walmart?
Cheap goods.
Because they're not going to be coming. All of a sudden, and Kevin, what's been your experience when the supply goes away? Like, if all those really cheap things aren't on the shelf,
right,
then everybody then buys what? The expensive things, but you're like, well, I could pay a little bit more. But wait a minute. But if everybody's buying the expensive things, there's not that many left. I don't think people really comprehend what's going on there. That could end really bad. And, you know, Slowburn put that we've been the loudmouth of the playground and everybody's starting to realize that we're talk and we're no bite. And that's a thing with America, you know?
Sometimes the truth is you can be a loudmouth asshole, but you have to punch somebody in the mouth every once
exactly.
in a while. If you don't do that, you're going to end up getting your ass beat.
And that's one of the things. I mean, that's why, like, Reagan, people were like, oh, that guy's kind of crazy. He's a little, he might nuke us if we piss him off.
Yeah, I'm not a Trump fan, but that he definitely had that shit going
for him. He had the crazy factor, you know?
You don't know what he's going to do.
You know, North Korea steps the wrong way, there's a good chance there's a nuke dropping on him.
Yeah, they quieted down quite a bit after Trump became – I mean, they ran their mouth a couple of times right in the beginning and then
and then
realized that was probably a bad move.
And that's the thing. And, like, you know, everybody was like, oh, Trump's out of control and crazy. And he probably was. I mean, that's not – but that worked for us, right? In that aspect, you know, for that one thing, that was really cool. Because it was like, oh, well, and he never came out and said, no, I would never do it. That don't even worry about it. He was like, yeah, well, you know, my hair, I'm crazy. And who knows, my skin's orange. Whatever.
Yeah, look how I style my hair. Obviously, I'm not a sane person. But, you know, it was the same thing. People don't realize this, but Putin is terrified of a nuclear exchange. Terrified.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about, like, being real worried. What's he going to do? What if he sets off a little nuke? What is he going to do? Nah, dude, don't worry about that shit. I say we should have troops in Ukraine right now because he's not going to do shit because he's a pussy.
There you go.
That's just my opinion, and everybody disagrees with me, so maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
There you go. And that's the thing. Like I mentioned, you know, Roosevelt, carry a big stick, you know, and – speak softly, carry a big stick. That's the thing you can, but people have to know there's some teeth there. And America is not, it's weird because you would think all the fighting we've done in Iraq and Afghanistan would show that we have teeth. You know, like, hey, look, we're backing it up. But we just kind of do these half-hearted, let's just throw, it's like Vietnam, you know? It's like,
the first Iraq war. Where we, you know, destroyed their military. And then we're like, all right, have fun, bye. Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I hate to say it. People are learning that if you can just wait out America, we don't really have the staying power. We don't have resolve to see things through. But bottom line, hyperinflation, I'm just saying, it's a thing that it's possible. And there are ways to protect yourself. And even if it doesn't go as dramatic, like they're actually saying right now that inflation's on the decline, that we're actually coming out of things. I'm not buying that.
You know what? I read that story today. Dude. I read that story today where they're saying inflation is decreasing. It's not. Yes, inflation is decreasing, but there's still inflation. It's still happening.
Right.
It's not like your money's getting more valuable. It's still getting less valuable every day.
Right.
It's not like it's going away or, you know, things are getting better. It's just not as bad as it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's bad. Let me I went to the gas station 2 days ago. Gas was $3.44 a gallon. And then I went yesterday and it's $3.74. And I'm like, fuck, 30 cents in a day? You're killing me.
A day.
You know, that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Basically inflation, let me see, I got some numbers here. It was, you know, pretty much forever. We haven't been over 4% and now we're like touching on 7%. And the chart I have only goes up to 2021. I checked out for 2023. It's not good. We just keep going up. Right now I dip back down. We're like 6.7%, I think. And they're like, it's coming down. Things are great.
Yeah.
And I think we're just kind of like fudging the numbers a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really depends on the math you do. You can pick the inflation you want to pick. because a lot of people are saying it's closer to 9% than 6%. But as long as you just pick what you're choosing, you know, choose what you want to measure, you know. Yeah.
But I will.
If you measure milk and bread, that's one thing. But if you measure gasoline and you know,
right,
gasoline and food, not the same thing.
Exactly. But I will say, I mean, this stuff does get out of control. So I will say, if you guys stick around, we might do a couple minute after show. We'll actually, you know, pop back up and see if we can do an after show. But I will say I appreciate it. If you could like and subscribe, that would be awesome. It really helps us out. I appreciate you guys showing up on a Saturday morning all the time, because I know it's tough. Everybody's got lives and things to do and things to get out there. And we're happy to, you know, you're listening to the podcast, downloading it, putting it, you know, listening in the car on the way to work. Happy to be part of the team. So that's awesome. And I would say, with that, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.